Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Derrick, minister of 12,000 Post-Public Secretary of the Congregation of the 12,000 Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 14, 2017, our city in 2021 was our start. Our first service today is a song entitled, More About Yahshua. More about Yahshua I would know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving for the sin, more of His love He died for me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving for the sin, more of His love He died for me. More about Yahshua, let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of Yah, my teacher be, showing the things of Yahshua to me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving from the sin, more of His love He died for me. More about Yahshua let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of Yah, my teacher be, showing the things of Yahshua to me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving from the sin, more of His love He died for me. More about Yahshua in His word, holding communion with my King, hearing His voice in everything, making His faithful saying ring. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving from the sin, more of His love He died for me.
Kingdom of Heaven, Part 1. We're going to start with verse 2 of Matthew 3. Let's start with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, that he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Yahshua from Galilee unto Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have thee to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Yahshua answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, that's the end of chapter 3. Now we're going to chapter 4. Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards an hungry. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, If thou be the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. And the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of Yahweh, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Yahshua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Yahweh thy Elohim. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Yahshua unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. Now how does that speak for us today? Him only shalt thou serve. Well now we've had, this could go with anybody that is in the service of the king. Yahshua. For Yahshua certainly taught the disciples how to worship. And just like he told Satan, you're to worship Yahweh and him only. Well, how do you worship Yahweh and him only? You do it through his son. Through performing your vows to honor the son. If you honor the Son, you honor the Father. Okay. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Yahshua had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed into the Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of the death, light is sprung up. From that time Yahshua began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. Remember what we told you about the word light? It's a synonymous term with law and truth. Those three are synonymous terms with each other. And so it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. You get that? Galilee of the Gentiles. It says, great light has sprung up. From that time, Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent. From that time. Now, he began to preach. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he was a forerunner of Yahshua, the Savior. Now, here Yahshua, after his fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, coming out and being baptized, and throwing off Satan's temptations and rebuking him. And now Yahshua is qualified to go and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand unto the Gentiles. Okay, so now it says, and Yahshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship. But Zebedee, their father, made in their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were a lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now this is what happened when Yahshua come preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what followed after that? Then he went into all those Gentile countries, and he started healing everybody that was he came in touch with that believed, and that repented, and their believing and accepting him was the same thing as repenting, so that they could receive the blessings that would come. Okay. So now that ends chapter 4 of Matthew. Now we're going to go into chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he received, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is Yahshua doing here? He's setting up a type how it's going to be in the last days when he raises up his servant with the Father's two names, Eliyahu, and the English transliteration is Elijah. And we recognize that in Malachi 4:5, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. So now, this Elijah is going to come. And again, like John the Baptist, he's a forerunner of Yahshua. So we're going to have repeat of this here. Now, John the Baptist was the Elijah of his day, 2,000 years ago. And he set the type exactly how it's going to be when this latter-day Elijah also comes. But John set the type in the land of Israel, and it affected all of those in Israel, and just starting with Jerusalem. It affected all of those regions round about, of the Gentile region. Then Yahshua come, was baptized with John, and he took up a greater ministry. He went to all the, just like John the Baptist affected. So he was a type for Yahshua's ministry to follow him. We're going to have repeat of that today. We're going to have this Elijah that's going to be a forerunner of Yahshua again. But this is going to be on a worldwide magnitude. The whole four corners of the earth are going to be affected. And that's where we're at right now. We're just entering into the great time of trouble like there never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12, 1 and 2. So anyway, as we go back to stay on track with our study of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. What does it mean, kind of fulfill? Well, simply means that when you have type and antitype, when the antitype that we're in now today is meeting its fulfillment, then what is Yahshua going to do? He's going to come when our work has been accomplished, and he's going to join in with it, like he did John the Baptist. He came and joined in John the Baptist's ministry. Yeah, and the word fulfill means that put it into operation. Means, in other words, means now it's time for the fulfillment of this here kingdom coming into its full view and maturity. Verse 18, Matthew 5, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, shall all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So, if you've got someone that is doing and teaching them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this Matthew chapter 5 has many verses related to the kingdom of heaven. So it says, verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift unto the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee unto the judge, and the judge deliver thee unto the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Yahweh thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne. I'll have to do it again. I say unto you, swear not at all, neither swear by the heaven, for it is the place of the Father's throne. No, heaven is not the Father's throne. Heaven is the place of the Father's throne. Remember what I told you about missing words? Put the right words in, and you get the full, clear meaning and the picture. Let's do that again, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, I swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for that is the place of the Father's throne. Verse 35, nor by the earth. See, they have the prepositional phrase here when they're saying nor by the earth, but whenever they say Now they're by heaven, they leave the article out. See? These are the translators. They put words in that belong there, and then they leave words out that belong there. So I said in verse 35, Matthew 5, neither, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by the Yarushan, I put the article B in there because they left it out. Neither by the Yarushan. In other words, the one and only. For it is as the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Verily, let your communication be a yea, yea, a nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn unto him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father. Now, that's a tall order, folks. I'm going to read that again. Verse 44. Verily I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in the heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So those that are outside the sanctuary law, that are not following it, they represent the unjust. They represent the evil. If you're on this side of the law and you're following all the sanctuary commandments, which Yahshua commanded them there in John 15:10, if you love me, keep my commandments, even as I loved my Father and kept his commandments. No, I quoted that wrong, actually. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You have to keep the Father's commandments. You have to keep the Son's commandments to abide in their love. Otherwise, you can't abide 24/7 in their love if you don't keep all of their commandments. Verse 46, Matthew 5. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now it don't get very much clearer than that when you read the fifth chapter of Matthew. It covers every aspect of the moral and spiritual life and the integrity of one profession to be a quote-unquote Christian. Okay, let us go right on into now Matthew chapter 6. I know that Matthew chapter 7 is our next chapter that has the kingdom of heaven mentioned in it in that order, but we're going to continue on with the kingdom of heaven here in Matthew chapter 6, the theme. Take heed that you do not your own before men. And he's talking about people that have that are members of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That are already in the kingdom. That are already doing all of these things that was quoted here in Matthew chapter 5. There's 48 verses in Matthew 5. And the last verse ended, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now he's going to tell you in Matthew 6, there's 34 verses, he's going to tell you how to remain perfect. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Really I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. At this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Hallelujah. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I had a great test on this down in Kermit, Texas, because I was bitterly grieved over the woman, Laura Mae Johnson, and her evilness, and it affected me so that I didn't have the spirit to even want to go to church anymore and worship with the congregation. And this affected the whole congregation because they knew it, they felt it when I came in and out. And so it prompted Brother Johnson, the husband, to come and see me. And he came to see me and he said, I want to help you to understand Matthew 18 about this forgiving your brother that's trespassing against you. But he didn't say it that way. He said that I had to get rid of this here animosity in my heart for Laura Mae. I had to overcome that because she's in the right and I'm in the wrong. And so I just got a false concept of who's at fault. And so he tried for about 2 or 3 hours to get me to see it, and I couldn't see it. Then there was a brother there that I brought into the church, and he was there listening to all of this, and finally, Brother Sean said, "Well, I give up," and he left. And then this Randy Hartwright, he says, "Maybe I can help you to see what Brother Johnson is trying to tell you here in Matthew 18. And we looked at it again, and we got to verse 35 of Matthew 18, and it said, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses against you." I had the word "against you," but it belongs there. And so I said, "Oh my goodness, I see it. I see it." I said, "I've got to go up to the Johnson's house right now, and I've got to go up there and tell Laura May that I forgive her of all her trespasses against me. And I no longer have this animosity in my heart anymore." So I drove up and walked in, and I said, "Laura May, I want to talk to you." I said, "I forgive you of all your trespasses against me." I said, "Because I understand Matthew 18:35 for the first time aright." And I said, "Now I have been delivered from all this animosity that I have against you. I no longer have it in my heart anymore. I love you, matter of fact." Well, she couldn't handle that. She says, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about." She says, "I haven't done nothing against you." I said, "Well, no matter what you think or believe, it doesn't matter to me at all. I've cleared my conscience. I've got peace in my heart, and I'm leaving." And I left. Well, she ended up bringing the church down to hell and diving and dying in her sin, because she never would acknowledge that she'd ever trespassed against me or anybody else. But Yahweh moved on with us. He gave the kingdom into my charge, and he moved on with us in 2003 from Kermit, Texas. And he left them behind. So this is how powerful this is to understand that verse 35 aright, Matthew 18. I know, been there and done that, and have already been victorious over that. Alright, in Matthew 6:16 it says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which sitteth in secret, shall reward thee openly." I have often fasted in time past. I have fasted. One time I fasted for 7 days. I just don't water. And my strength never did leave me. Matter of fact, I was in better strength than I was before. And I went on about my daily duties. I didn't think anything about it because I didn't feel hungry. For 7 days I never felt hungry. I just went about. I never had no temptation to eat food. And it was the most wonderful feeling I've ever had in my life when I fasted that 7 days. I felt as free as a breeze and as free as a bird. I will have to admit that I find it hard to try to plan again another 7-day water fast. But I do know that is in my mind. So, you don't have to appear to be fasting. You don't have to go and disfigure yourself and let people even know. You don't even have to say a word about it. If you're doing it for the right reason, Yahweh will bless it. So it says in Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, for moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold unto the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. In other words, you cannot participate in the worldly's dainties, and their customs and fashions, and their idolatry. That's all idolatry. You can't do that and serve Yahweh also. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by the taking a thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of the Yahweh. Don't say heaven here. I just assumed that it did. So you see, we still have, we're dealing with the kingdom of heaven, like I said, even though it's not written just that way in chapter 6. But it is written the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness. Now, if you want to get more technical, you can say, but seek ye first the kingdom of his son, Yahshua, which is the same thing to us today, would mean the everlasting kingdom of David that is being set up, as Yahshua sit upon the throne of David, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What made the Yahshua, what kept him righteous? He was always righteous, but what kept him righteous? By his obedience unto his Father's commandment. Because it says right there in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about how he remained holy and righteous, how he was able to attain unto it. We think that he was automatically, he was born holy and righteous, no question about it. And he never sinned, there's no question about that. But he had to grow up, and it says, verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 5, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, there's that key word, perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So everybody should commit those two verses to memory. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. They should just make them memory verses. Jeff White, make them memory verses for the members of your congregation and for your family. Teach them to your children. Okay. So now, and also all ministers worldwide that joins the kingdom of heaven for their congregation, those that same thing goes for them as well. All right, that's the end of chapter 6 of Matthew. Let's go right on into chapter 7. Sermon on the Mount. What do you think about that? Well, in chapter 5 is also entitled Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 6 is entitled Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7 is entitled Sermon on the Mount. So those three chapters takes in the Sermon on the Mount. So now let's go into chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For what forth what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now this is talking about in the kingdom of heaven. So in the kingdom of heaven is where you become perfect. You're not perfect when you first join the kingdom of heaven. But after you join the kingdom of heaven, these are the guidelines that I'm reading to you, how to come into total perfection and sanctification and holiness and righteousness and justification, all of those. And it's all done through and by the faith in the blood of Yeshua. Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of the false prophets that come unto you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of the thorns or figs of the thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Well, how does a tree become corrupted? Well, one thing, if you crossbreed it and have it cross-pollinated from a peach tree to an apricot tree, and you mix them both together and then plant the seed, and they bear fruit. If the bees happen to pollinate the two different trees together, they cross-germinate them. And then you can produce a peach apricot tree all at the same time. That would, to me, would be a corrupt tree, and I'm sure that's the way it is. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. In other words, it's called, a corrupt tree is called a hybrid. Two different fruits mixed together. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the same thing with a white man marrying a dark-skinned person. Whether it, no matter what his race is, marrying one of the dark races. That's corrupt. That's corruptness. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Let's go back over and start verse 21 again. Not every one that saith unto me, Yahshua, Yahshua, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he that doeth the will of my, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Yahshua, Yahshua, have we not this prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Yahshua had entered these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Okay, so we're going to have to be the same way when we get become perfect. Even before we become perfect, when we start on the ministry of accepting Yahshua and believing in him, and he accepts us right then and there in our imperfect state. And the Adventists played big on that statement, that Yahshua, all you have to do is just repent and say, I accept the Adventist truth, and I want to be a member. And they said, okay, you're a member, but that doesn't mean you're perfect. And Adventists used to say, well, that's all you got to do, be saved. Just say, I believe. And said, because you can never become perfect in this life, they'll follow up to tell you. Yahshua will make up the part that you can't do for yourself. You can only go 75%, he makes up the other 25%. Alright, this is what the professor that I had in college back in 1962, Morris Lewis, he was the number one teacher on the Hebrew and at the college there of Keene, Texas, and I went to school there for a while. He was my religious department teacher. He taught religion. And so he taught this concept. The part that you're not able to make, it's impossible to be 100%, Yahshua makes up the difference for you. Well, I contested him over that statement back in 1962 over this very thing here in Matthew 7. That's how far back that I go with over 50 years with remembering what the Adventists taught, because I was in their school, and I took a religion class that was taught by the number one professor of religion, and that was Morris Lewis. He could speak Hebrew language fluently. I mean, he taught Hebrew. He was a very smart man. All right. Well, it looks like we're just about to close our study. So we need to make a comment or two, and then I guess bring this to a close. In Matthew 8:11, it says, that's first, let's read verse 10 as well. When Yahshua heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so that's Matthew 8. Now let's go to Matthew 10:7 and close out this service. let's read verse 6 first. No, read verse 5, 6, and 7. These 12 Yahshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now that's what we're going to be commanded to do here in the Antichrist. When we are sent and commissioned to go forward preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he will give us all power over unclean spirits and over anything that is unclean, and he will give us power to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons. This is going to be repeated in our day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this sermon, this message we have, and so we're going to close now with a song. Are you washed in the blood? To Yahshua for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and as white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each morning in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soap and the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless as they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the mansions bright, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soap and in blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul, and pain will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? None has seen the glory of the